Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Well, hello everyone, Dr. Fujian Zhang, and hello to Sean in studio, and a big hello to all of you. This is a show about what matters most in our life, our mind, thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. And this show, I will share with you the tip of the week. I will share with you my declaration and how it was last year and what I'm declaring for next year. And I want to hear yours, declaring the best of you. And I will share the latest research about 6 ways that the scientists say you can reboot your brain after a hard year of COVID-19. Then I'll bring you Peter Rupert. He's the founder and the CEO of iEducation Group, which operates over 75 fusion and future academics for grades 6 to 12 in one student, one teacher classroom environments. That is amazing. But today, we'll actually be talking about his latest book, Limitless, 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life. I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me through my website, fujian.com, and follow my social media and message me with your comments and topics of interest and especially questions, because in the Ask Me segments, I want to answer any question that you have. But first, here's the tip of the week.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zhang. You can get it now at fujian.com or amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Well, here's the tip of the week. I wish you had an amazing year ahead, filled with love and joy. A year in which you experience life fully. Let me share with you how the year went for me. Each year I create a vision for myself to commit to and attain. I've committed towards being authentic, transparent, connected, happy, joyous, and passionate, loving and accepting and forgiving and expressive, and most of all, to be on integrity. I've kept up this way of being most of the hours and most of the days, and at times when I wasn't 100% there. I shifted back to my commitments as quickly as possible that after I caught myself, right? This year has been an interesting one, with the COVID-19 creating more opportunity for me to actually see clients and even socialize online. Although it's different when I don't sit beside another person to feel their presence, I had to gain the expertise to be fully present with each and every one via Zoom or FaceTime. I decided to close my Beverly Hills office and just be in the Orange County and only have my office in San Clemente and mostly see clients online. So it's interesting. I miss being in people's presence and yet truly enjoy the comfort of my home while I see people online. The lack of the traffic from my bedroom to the kitchen to my home office is delightful. The ability to hop to the kitchen for a snack during the day and chat with my husband during my break is a blessing. I used to be known for never being home and did not know how this staying at home norm would turn out to be. Surprisingly, I really enjoy being and working from home and don't have the old need or the desire to always be out anymore. My connection with my clients stayed in the same and even at times appreciated each other more. It appeared to me that connecting from home for both my clients and I made the professional relationship a little bit warmer. I acknowledge that for some, it just didn't work and they needed to come to the office, and sitting in the office with masks and then, which did not allow us to see each other's facial expression. It was a bit of an inconvenience, but yet, you know, a responsible way of being together. And so far has saved me from getting COVID or my clients from getting COVID. So there were many losses, and I had to grieve many normal ways of being and acting. I really had to grieve the ability to go to restaurants and get entertained and go to on trips and having the, you know, friends over or going to friends' houses. And there was a lot of loss, although there was a lot of gain, but, you know, there was a lot of loss also. So overall, I went through the transition smoothly. And I know that with a lot of the people who are around me, were trying very hard to kind of like adjust to what it was and try to figure it out. And, you know, it's no longer a short-term concept. It's already been 10 to 11 months, and we don't even know how long it's going to take and how long it's going to be. So the notion of both my husband and I working from home and being at the same location for 24 hours was very new. He used to travel a lot, and I used to work 12 hours a day at my office. So we made it actually possible, and we actually made us closer. Previously, we both needed lots of space and not to kind of like suffocate each other, and yet found ways to give each other room to breathe while we enjoyed knowing that the other one is in the close vicinity, and then connect multiple times during the day. I think that probably is the key to finding yourself being closer to each other. My promise was to fall in love every day. And guess what? I accomplished that promise. I created falling in love every day. And I think that I really like this and might experience separation anxiety if all goes back. We have to go back to the previous ways. We welcomed an addition of our family and, you know, a little Pomeranian, little cutie that just brought a lot of ultimate love and joy. I finished the Awareness Integration Therapy book, which is a manual for therapists and coaches to be able to do the model for their clients. That's going to be published. And then two amazing colleagues, we are almost finishing the Intentional Parenting book, which will be published in May 2021. I have about 7 weekly shows, radio and television shows in Farsi and 2 in English, in live podcasts and live Instagrams. And I'm very thankful. I feel blessed. And for everyone who has been here, who has been part of my life, who has supported me or have then allowed me to be their support. I learned more than anything to be flexible with life as it brings surprises every day, and to continue with what I believe in, no matter what the circumstances are. So I'm ready for more in 2021, and I hope you are. Teaching the Awareness Integration Model in hopefully Cal State Long Beach, conducting multiple research with children, childcare, schools, and family therapies, and creation of an app for the Awareness Integration Model so everybody can access it through their phone, and facilitating online workshops and for public, and then courses for therapists. I'm on a roll, I'm telling you, and I'm excited. So now let's talk about you. How about you? I want you to look at how was your last year. What did you learn about yourself? What was the toughest time that you had to endure? What were the ways that you were flexible and you had to be flexible, or you chose to be flexible? What were all the achievements in different areas of your life? What were some of the areas that you actually, it was new to you, and this whole time allowed you to actually look at that? What were your losses and how did you handle your loss? What are your commitment to create next week, next year, next month? And how do you commit to be, and who do you commit to be? So write down your declaration and live them. Be the one that you have always dreamed of being, and wishing you to be an act, the best of you, effortlessly, and inspire the best of everyone around you. It is the latest research, 6 ways to reboot your brain after a hard year of COVID-19. Neuroscientists present 6 scientifically proven ways to help improve brain and mental health, presented in The Conversation and neuroscience news.com. There's no doubt that 2020 was difficult for everyone and tragic for many. But now vaccines against COVID-19 are finally being administered, giving a much needed hope of the return to normality and a happy 2021. However, months of anxiety and grief and loneliness can easily create a spiral of negativity that is hard to break out of. That's because chronic stress changes the brain. And sometimes when we're low, we have no interest in doing the things that could actually make us feel better. So to enjoy our lives in the 2021, we need to snap out of destructive habits and get our energy levels back. In some cases, that maybe initially mean forcing yourself to do things that will gradually make you feel better. If you're experiencing more severe symptoms, however, you may want to speak to a professional about therapy or medication. Here are 6 evidence-based ways to change your brain for the better. 1, be kind and helpful. Kindness, altruism, and empathy can affect the brain. One study showed that making a charitable donation activated the brain's reward system in a similar way to actually receiving money. This also applies to helping others who have been wronged. Volunteering can also give a sense of meaning in life, promoting happiness, health, and well-being. Other adults who volunteer regularly also exhibit greater life satisfaction and reduce depression and anxiety. In short, making others happy is a great way to make yourself happy. 2, exercise. Exercise has been linked with both better physical and mental health, including improved cardiovascular health and reduced depression. In childhood, exercise is associated with better school performance, while it promotes better cognition and job performance in young adults. In older adults, exercise maintains cognitive performance and provides resilience against neurodegenerative disorders such as dementia. What's more, studies have shown that individuals with higher level of fitness have increased brain volume, which is associated with better cognitive performance in older adults. People who exercise also live longer. One of the very best things that you could do to reboot your brain is, in fact, to go out and get some fresh air during a brisk walk, run, or cycling session. To make sure to pick something you actually enjoy, to ensure to keep doing it over and over again. So 3, eat well. Nutrition can substantially influence the development of health and brain structure and function. It provides the proper building blocks for the brain to create and maintain connections, which is critical for improved cognition and academic performance. Previous evidence has shown that long-term lack of nutrients can lead to structural and functional damage to the brain, while a good quality diet is related to a larger brain volume. One study of 20,000 participants from UK showed that a higher intake of cereal was associated with long-term beneficial effects of increased volume of gray matter. Hey, cereal. Good. A key component of central nervous system, which is linked to improved cognition. However, diets rich in sugar, saturated fats, or calories can damage neural function. They can also reduce the brain's ability to make new neural connections, which negatively affect cognition. Therefore, whatever your age, remember to eat a well-balanced diet, including fruits, vegetables, and cereal. 4, keep socially connected. Loneliness and social isolation is prevalent across all ages, genders, and cultures. Further elevated by the COVID-19 pandemic, robust scientific evidence has indicated that social isolation is detrimental to physical, cognitive, and mental health. One recent study showed that there were negative effects of COVID-19 isolation on emotional cognition, but that this effect was smaller in those that stayed connected with others during lockdown. Developing social connections and alleviating loneliness is also associated with decreased risk of mortality, as well as range of illness. So therefore, loneliness and social isolation are increasingly recognized as critical public health issues, which require effective interventions and social interaction, is associated with positive feelings and increased activation in the brain's reward system. So in 2021, be sure to keep up with family and friends, but also expand your horizon and make some new connections. 5, learn something new. The brain changes during critical periods of development, but it's also a lifelong process. Novel experiences such as learning new skills can modify both brain function and the underlying brain structure. For example, juggling has been shown to increase white matter, tissue composed of nerve fibers, structures in the brain associated with visuomotor performance. Similarly, musicians have been shown to have increased gray matter in the parts of the brain that process auditory information, learning a new language also change the structure of human brain. So a larger view of the literature suggests that mentally stimulating leisure activities increase brain reserve, which can instill resilience and be protective of cognitive decline in older adults, be it chess or cognitive games. And the sixth one, and the most important one, sleep properly. Sleep is an essential component of human life, yet many people do not understand the relationship between good brain health and the process of sleeping. During sleep, the brain reorganizes and recharges itself and removes toxic waste byproducts, which helps to maintain normal brain functioning. Sleep is very important for transforming experiences into our long-term memory, maintaining cognitive and emotional function, and reducing mental fatigue. Studies of sleep deprivation have demonstrated deficits in memory and attention, as well as changes in the reward system, which often disrupts emotional functioning. Sleep also exerts a strong regulatory influence on the immune system. If you have the optimal quantity and quality of sleep, you will find that you have more energy, better well-being, and are able to develop your creativity and thinking. So happy new year, and let's make the most of ourselves in 2021 and help others do the same.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome back. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I am excited to have Peter Rupert with me. He's the founder and the CEO of iEducation Group, which operates over 75 Fusion and Future academies for grades 6 to 12 in one student, one teacher classroom environment. Isn't that amazing? A 20-year veteran of the education industry, he's opened over 100 schools and acquired more than 25 others. He's been the president and the CEO of organizations in the private school, charter school, and early education industries, and sat on his local public school board for 5 years. Today, we're going to actually talk about his new book, Limitless: 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life. Yes, your one extraordinary life. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doctor. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I went through your book, and first of all, I just want to say that I was really excited about hearing your school. So if you don't mind, I really want our audience to know about your school first, because I think it's fantastic for people to have the ability, especially for the ones who can't adjust to the system that's out there for their school. But we've seen more than you know, the past 10 months or 11 months because of the COVID, how much of this concept of online school, how much this concept of one-on-one, you know, connection that a teacher and a student can have is so important. So can you talk a little bit about that before we get to your book, Limitless?
Sure, absolutely. So our company is called Fusion Education Group, and we have, as you mentioned earlier, a little over 75 schools, physical schools across the country under the Fusion Academy umbrella or the Futures Academy umbrella, including many, many in the California area. And we also recently launched, right before COVID was coming on board, we were fortunate in our timing, a virtual school. And so now we're providing one-on-one education where our teachers can really be not just educators, but mentors as much as they can be teachers. And it helps us reach students who have struggled for lots of different reasons. But oftentimes, as we all know, there are social or emotional challenges that students are facing that end up impacting their ability to be successful academically. And so both our physical schools and our virtual schools are set up in a way that it's a one-to-one environment where every class is taught one teacher, one student. Now you have different teachers for each subject. You might have a history teacher, and a math teacher, et cetera. But it's all about that complete customization of the educational experience where teachers can, like I said, be mentors for the students as much as they can be educators so that they really can reach these students in 6th through 12th grade and deliver life-changing results in many cases.
Absolutely, because right now we see a lot of the kids were having issues dropping out from the high school. So it seems like your model of the school system really entices them to kind of keep at it, move forward, and create their own version of their own success out of this versus going into a system that they might not necessarily be successful.
No doubt. And that's the beauty of the customization we can provide, because so often students feel like they're just caught a cog in the wheel and they don't really understand what it all means and how all these different subjects kind of tie together. But when our teachers have that chance to be working with a student one-to-one, they can customize the particular subjects, oftentimes around the passions and interests of a student, and help bring subjects like science and math to life when it relates closely to some of their hobbies and interests. And we've seen that's just a powerful recipe to really get students engaged, get them back on track, and with the mentoring on top of it, just enable them to really have much better success.
How can they find your school?
You can find us at fusionacademy.com or futures.edu are the two websites we can access.
Wonderful. Now, let's talk about your latest book, Limitless, 9 Steps to Launch Your One Extraordinary Life. So you start with the most important aspect, which I know as a therapist, which is winning the battle in your head. You talk about reframing the negative to the positive and toward a growth mindset. You share about choosing positivity, and then you go through systematic, step-by-step, which I really like. Your book is great in a way that people can, it's simply written specifically, and then gives you a list, and then gives you a homework, and gives you, you also share about you and your ups and downs, and how you could have looked at it, and then, you know, depending on how you would perceive it and put a meaning toward it, it would either, you know, kind of like put you down or move you forward. Can you share a bit about that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my objective in writing the book was thinking back to when I was in my 20s and 30s and quote unquote trying to figure it all out. And so many younger folks today are in that same situation. And for me, I would often look at a successful person and say, oh my gosh, well, that person has always been successful. They never had the challenges that I face or others have faced. And that's why they sit in that chair. But as I researched successful people for my own benefit early on, I started to realize these common themes that seem to coincide with each one of these successful people I was studying. And so I tried to then take that. I used it as an inspirational piece for me where I jotted down these 9 steps and put it in my briefcase and used it as a constant reminder in my career as I charged ahead to try and get to the next level of success. And that so benefited me. I then printed it out and called it Traits of a Champion and stuck it on my kids' bathroom Mir when they got into middle school, and thinking that they'd much rather read it than hear it from their old man. And it was helpful for them as well. And I've got so many encouraging comments from folks to turn it into a book. And that began the process years ago. But the whole idea was, there's enough 350-page self-help books out there. I wanted to make it crisp. I wanted to make it powerful. I wanted to bring stories to life. And I wanted to create a lot more places that people can go to get more research from the true experts on each one of these steps. And all in all, it's less than 150 pages, but yet hard-hitting, and it's a document that people can refer back to time and time again as they get stuck or as they're trying to figure out their own path.
Absolutely. It certainly is crisp and it's to the point. It's lean, but it's got good protein. Like, that's what it is. It's lean, but and really has high level of nutrition in it. You talk about choosing positivity, listing positive thoughts, learning the art of reframing, and you even bring examples of that. Realizing, this one I love, is realizing that you're not alone, because sometimes, you know, this illusion that we're alone and this is only happening to me and poor me and the victimization really gets us and holds us back. You talk about not letting the past define us. And then this other one that I really loved was dwelling on your daily activities, because sometimes when we, you know, throughout the day, at the end of the night, when we're looking at it, we sometimes, our brain goes into, oh, this didn't work out, or I shouldn't have that, or this person did this to me, or I don't like this. But then, you know, the concept of training ourselves to look at every single, day and looking at, yeah, there were 10 things that didn't work out, but look at all the things that it worked out. Look at all the things that I did. And I think that's so important from the reframing factor.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And some people grow up in really difficult circumstances, right? Where they're told by their parents or told by their friends or told by peers in school that how they're not good enough and how they stink or how they're ugly or will never be successful. And we start to internalize those thoughts. And the reality is that so many successful people, huge successes, well beyond what I've ever done or anything like that, had those same kind of experiences and they found their way around it. I think it starts with realizing that what's happened in the past, what other people have told you, don't have to be fact about your future. But if we don't break away from the past, if we don't break away from that negativity, we start to believe that. And the power of that book, that first step is winning the battle in your head, is about the negative and positive conversations you have with yourself. And the folks who become successful find a way to get that positive conversation with themselves, that boosting spirit to help carry them away. And those little tips I talk about in the book, writing down your daily victories, even when they're small, reminding yourselves of all the things you've accomplished, and building on those is how we win. That's how we overcome the negative noise that we all have in our heads every day.
Yes. Then you also talk about find and follow your passion. We talk a lot about, when you got to do what you got to do, and then there's a pathway that, okay, everybody's got to go through this, then sometimes we blend in but lose ourselves. And I'm sure that you also see this in the children that in your school, that somehow if they can find their own passion in something, even in learning, like passion in learning gets them to move forward, even with the toughest subject, because none of us really all liked, you know, all subjects in school. We just kind of like have to bear and go through it because we've got to. But there are things that we're passionate about, you know, and you talk about how to create and find, and then as you find it, then follow and kind of like live your passion. Share about that, please.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, what I differentiate is, I don't think any of us has one passion, right? And sometimes people make the mistake of finding and following your only passion. And for instance, when I was a kid, I was a sports junkie, right? And I could have said, well, my passion is sports, and so I'm going to spend all my energy chasing some kind of a sports dream in and around that industry. Well, I quickly, as I got to be an adult, realized that to get into that business, even if you're not an athlete, but to get into that business is very, very tough. And so all of us have to think about how our passions can change over time And we need to look deep in ourselves to see what skills do I have? What are things that are interesting to me? What kind of research do I do to get me jazzed up? Because at the end of the day, to be successful, you've got to be jazzed up about what you're chasing. And I encourage folks to really think about what are the strengths that they have? What are those skills that they can really leverage? And then finding ways to leverage those skills in any kind of career path that they might pursue. And like I said, your passions may change. The important one is find one and go all in, because it's a combination of being passionate about something and willing to do the hard work. And the passion is nothing but the gasoline that fuels the hard work to help you ultimately achieve your dream.
But you also say clarity starts with taking action and not just thinking about it. And it is so true, because sometimes when we have a clear vision, like whether it's the passion or is the goal or the vision that we have, yes, that's important to create the clarity there. But many times when we actually try to put that vision into work and take the action on it, then we see there's so many other aspects of it which we haven't really cleared. I know I do a lot of international speaking and, you know, in conferences. And as long as it's only in my head, it sounds so good. And then the minute I start practicing and I start talking, I'm like, oh, what did I just say? Because what is in our thoughts and action coming out and actually doing something makes it into a concrete level that you can observe and you can adjust and you can evaluate versus only being as a thinking process. And you also share that success brings opportunities, and in action and in those opportunities also you can find your passion. So it doesn't have to always just sit, I'm not going to move until I find my passion. Sometimes you need to move, and then within that movement, you actually find your passion.
No doubt about it. And that is just so true, is that you can't sit around and wait for your passion to come to you, because it's out there. You just have to try different things, and you have to get involved and really dig deeper, and eventually it'll come forth. And it's oftentimes built on some skill or some capability we have, and putting those into action is where we're going to really get jazzed up about, gosh, look what I can accomplish when I leverage these ideas and I build it around the vision of what I want to become. So, but you're right. So many folks have these visions dancing around in their head and it goes back and forth, only to be replaced by the next great vision that pops in their head or the next great passion. And too often we lose any chance of pursuing our dreams because it never gets out of our head. In fact, even today, I tell my kids when they tell me, oh, I want to go do this and I want to go do that, and I say, well, have you written it down? And it drives them crazy, but I've learned so much over the years that until you write some kind of dream down, it's just a dream that's going to drift away. Until you take the time to write it down with specificity and really kind of describe what your life will look like when you get to that vision, when you follow that passion, that'll help your mind get set around that. And it's amazing how the mind works, how it helps you kind of charge toward that even subliminally when you don't even realize it's happening.
Right. It's interesting. You said in your book, dream big, then make it bigger. Say a bit about that. Could you share about, like, okay, look at the dream and seeing your vision and dream. Does it excite you? Do you feel energized when you think about it? Do you know why you want to achieve it so badly? And then write it down. And then make it bigger. So how come you do big and then make it bigger?
Well, my whole point on that is I believe that we're all kind of limited by our intuitive sense, the paradigm we live in about what is possible in our day-to-day lives. And so I challenge people, and I challenge you in the book, is that what we think about is big today might be a step up, might be a major movement forward, but is it really as much as we have the capabilities to do? And we all underestimate our capabilities of what we can possibly do on this earth. We all have different, unique, but equally powerful gifts that we were born with. And so I encourage folks to get past that intuitive fence, if you will, that limits our thinking and our possibilities around what we've been told we can do, what others think we are our capabilities, and break through to that. Because those folks who have created amazing successes in any walk of life have found a way to break away from that intuitive sense that held them back. And so that's why dream big, but you could be so much bigger and you can do so much more than you ever think you can. And so make it bigger and break outside, go outside the realm of what you think is a possibility today. Because in our lives, we have not just 5 or 10, or but we have 15, 20, 25 years, depending on how old we are, to really accomplish amazing things. But if we limit our thinking, our lives are going to be very similar in 5 or 10 or 15 years than they are today, because we didn't break through that intuitive fence of what the real possibilities for the amazing skill sets we've been blessed with.
And what is, can you share a little bit about your way of doing this in your own life, where you had dreamed big, but then you really looked at dreaming bigger than possibility, you know, that was possible?
Yeah, again, one of my learnings along the way, and I actually mentioned this as a resource in the back of that chapter where I have the things that you talked about, Doctor. And I saw a video about 25 years ago about the power of vision. And it's by a gentleman by the name of Joel Barker. If you ever get your hands on that video, you can hear about it. And in that, for the first time in my life, I realized about how important it is and how powerful it is when we start thinking. But he talked about several different companies and several different people who created this vision that was much bigger than wherever they were. And a great example was the Toyota Motor Company. Well, we now know that as one of the biggest, if not the biggest, auto manufacturer in the world. But back in the late 40s, early 50s, when Toyota was just kind of coming out of World War II and just kind of restarting, they set a big statement that says, we're going to be the not just the best automaker in the world someday, but the biggest. And at that time, it was just a tiny little Japanese company with bad quality and everything else. And we all know what's happened to that over the years. But classic example. And for me, in my own personal experiences, when we started this business, when I raised the money, the capital to start what is today Fusion Education Group 15 years ago, we shortly after we started, we didn't have any schools. We were trying to find different partnerships with schools that we could create and eventually replicate. And so we put a big sign in our front door in our lobby that says, our vision is to someday have more than 100 schools across the country. Well, at that time, people would kind of come in and smirk because there's only 2 or 3 of us in our office and say, kind of laugh under their breath about, what are you thinking? Well, today we're close to 80, and there's no doubt in my mind we'll someday go past the 100 school mark. So in retrospect, it looks easy, but when you're starting something out, if I had just said, hey, we want to be successful or get a couple of schools, I'm sure there's no doubt we'd be at 2 or 3 schools today and we'd be successful. But that idea of setting that big vision and being and talking about it and writing it down and seeing it every day is just so powerful, not just for organizations, but more importantly for us as individuals.
Yes, no, I really get that. I remember when I created my model awareness integration, it was more between me and my clients, just experiencing whatever all the models that I had experienced with my clients. And then, bringing it in, setting it up in the model. And then suddenly, one of my friends who's her education is in early childhood. And we were sitting down and I said, people usually go back like they're 25, 30, they've built all of their belief systems, they've created everything. And then they look back and they got to clean up. And some of what the model does is cleaning up. And I said, I wish that, children could have this tool where they could, they don't have to handle all these traumas and emotions, which, holds them down and they get caught in these belief systems, which they can. I wish we could create a proactive system that goes, from up front. And she says, this is what I want to do. I want to create a daycare and let's do your model in the daycare. And we've done 6 years old already and we've done amazing research. And it seems like, wow. When you bring something, and then from there, we did the study in Cal State Long Beach with the students, and then amazing results of minimizing 68% of depression. As the college students have the highest level of depression and suicide right up freshman coming up. So it was like suddenly, talking to another group took it to a whole different level, which then became an educational model also, not only a psychotherapy model, not a clinical model, but now it's like a, then the self-help model, then an educational model. So part of what you were saying about dream bigger than what is like you have this idea and then suddenly it just like, oh, can 7.5 billion people have access to this to this, you know, unique tool just to be able to do that. And then in your book, you say, share your vision with those you trust. And this is something that has happened overly and overly with me, where when it's in my mind, it can only land so far because of my own, you know, limitations. And then when I have shared it, you know, with different people who come up, you know, with a different aspect of it, suddenly it just moves to a whole different layer. Not only that it comes out of my mouth and creates existence, suddenly it just takes its own kind of lever. And I'm hearing the same thing as, you know, you have an idea about schools should be another way, and you've been in the school system for so many years, but then coming up with ideas with other people, and then suddenly it just goes, moves beyond just what you had a vision of.
So true. And telling other people about it is oftentimes the first step, because that's when you're totally committed, right? When you're willing to share your dreams or your vision with someone else, that's that first step of saying I'm in, right? Because it's easy to kind of hide behind. It's easy to let it slip away. When it's just in our mind, it's only ourselves who know about it. We've got the positive voice and the negative voice telling us we can or can't do it, but we don't go past that sphere. It won't happen. I'll just bet time and time again that it just won't happen. But when we write it down, when we talk to other people about it, and we try and get champions, another part of my book, and we try and get partners who can help support us along the way and join us in our crusade or whatever it is to become, to achieve our dreams, that's when it really takes off. And I think you're absolutely right that until you're willing to talk about it, it just bounces around and will rarely materialize.
Yeah. A whole chapter is set up for failure. And it's even called fail often, you know, and to have the courage to fail. And it's important, it seems like, what I've learned is to bring the concept of failure as a part of the growth versus constantly having an avoidance of it. Because if we're afraid of it and we're putting it in a space of avoiding it, then when it shows up, even if in a small scale or a large scale, it really shocks us. But if we, instead of creation of like fail proof, which I don't think it ever happens, but more like expect on certain areas that you're going to fail and you could create this opportunity to move from it. Can you share a bit about your view of this section of your book?
Yeah, absolutely. Fail often, and it's often in specifically because of that learning that I've had over the years is that everyone, typically in our society, too often we think about failure as a negative, right? And so what happens if we are afraid to fail, we certainly limit our intuitive sense, our possibilities, in that I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to not take risks. I'm not going to push myself in order not to fail. And those are all the things you have to do if you want to achieve substantial success in whatever it is that your dreams are and that you're pursuing. And so that idea of the best learning we ever get is when we fail by doing something. And hopefully we're smart about our failures. We're not just randomly doing dumb things to ensure we're going to fail. But it's that idea of pushing the limits in any endeavor is going to, if we are indeed pushing the limits, then inevitably we're going to stumble, we're going to fall. And the important thing is getting back up and learning from it and then course correcting, et cetera, to make sure we do it. But show me a person who hasn't failed, I'll show you a person who's never really grown and never really been able to achieve their real dreams. Because they're hiding behind the fact that, oh, aren't I perfect? Well, you're only perfect in doing things in your life that you're currently living and a part of.
Yes, and you share that being courageous to move out of your comfort zone, because if you're not failing, it might appear that you're playing small. So if you ever wanted to play big, and you said dream big and even bigger, if you were going to play big, you could not face the failure at one point in the system and then learning and moving forward with it. And I think the expectation of I'm going to start a vision and then, you know, from here on is just going to go this way all the time, it's a fantasy. So thinking that I'm going to start and then, yeah, I'm going to go here and then, you know, go down and then
again, and each phase has to be a different learning. Like I remember having different practices or different businesses, and I had a large clinic, and it was more like, okay, there's a mindset of starting something, and then there's a mindset that goes from, you know, like a startup mom and pop business to the next level. And if I did, it's almost like I had to find myself to the edge and then fail at it, and then know that I had to learn new skills. I either had to let it go or create a new skill at that moment. So I can look at it as a failure, or it was like, okay, it was success until it met the wall of that phase. And then, you know, the same skill was not gonna just pull through for the next level. Right. So I had to face the wall, and sometimes like smash it with my nose and now what do I do? Like, do I say goodbye to it, or do I actually learn the next level of skill to move forward? And I'm sure you've had that with your businesses moving forward and going from one level to the next level.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I mean, that's exactly right. In my history, just a year after I started this business, this organization, one of our two investors that represented 50% of the financial backing we had pulled out because they didn't believe we had the right strategy. They didn't think we were going in the right direction, and they weren't confident we would ultimately be a success. So, wow. I mean, it would have been easy to fold up the tent then and say, okay, we're not going to be good enough. Let's just pass on this and do something else. But yeah, we saw that as part of the journey. And I think that's another thing that people forget, is that we see someone who's been hugely successful. I mean, with all the different things that you've done, Dr. Zane, you started as just a normal person way back when, and you've constantly, I'm sure, had a number of failures along the way. But too often we see some successful person and we think, again, oh my gosh, weren't they lucky? Didn't they have all the skills? And we think, and then when we start to peel back the onion on their life or their career or whatever it is, we realize oftentimes the amazingly challenging upbringing they had, or the negative family environment, or the tough school environment they had with peers, or all the business challenges or organizational challenges as they climbed the mountain to success. And certainly what they had was lots of failures, sometimes even huge failures, but the ability to keep that in perspective and to keep their eye on that big vision that we talked about earlier, that they were going to find a way. And so they got back up, they course corrected, they found another route up the mountain, and voila, we see them today saying, oh my gosh, what an amazing success. But if we were there on the journey with them the whole time, we would see time and time again where they hit failures, both big and small, but we had that mindset on the big prize and the vision, and then re-course corrected accordingly.
And what was your mindset? Because going back to your book, and I want to hear from you about the part of your own courageousness. You say practice courageousness and know your value, and then surround yourself with courageous people, and be kind of like self accountable to yourself. So coming, and I'm sure, you know, as 2021 is coming now, we're here with the beginning week, and people are setting up goals and all of that. They might also look at 2020, which could have been a year of hardship for many people, and that they would have to kind of like get the energy to get up again and say, okay, we're going to have a new future. It's a new year. I'm going to create new. What kind of a mindset do you suggest? And you went through an experience to, okay, I fail. I have all these obstacles in front of me. And now, how do I get up? How do I create that courage inside of me to get up and move forward?
Yeah, great question. And the courage piece is so important, because if we're not willing to make those changes, if we're not willing to do those things we've already talked about, then tomorrow is going to look a lot like yesterday did. And I think that courage is when we think about, okay, if we want to change our life, chances are we need to change our friends, we need to change our peer group, we need to think about a new job or a new career. And that's all big change. And most people say, oh, I want to change my life, but I don't want to do the work or make some of these difficult changes. And I've read a number of times, and I'm sure you have too, but you're the average. They say that the adage is you're the average of the 10 people you spend the most time with. And sometimes our friend groups are not people to hold us up and promote us and help us achieve our dreams, and we're apt to hold you back. And sometimes we have to go find new friends and new peer groups and seek champions who are going to help boost us versus pull us back. And a lot of times breaking free from what we've always done, and it requires that kind of courage to say, I'm going to be willing to break away from my past to go do new things, or to find new friends, or to go find a mentor or champion who I can trust, who's going to help me along the way and help me get back up when I fall. Because otherwise, like I said, we end up kind of repeating the past, and we end up living the same life we've lived to date, and our dreams kind of dissipate.
Yes. You also share a very good point, which is never to give up, but know when to pivot. It's like you could hold the space and constantly move at it, grow and learn and all of that. But there's also a place in us which at one point we know when to quit and take our energy and move it somewhere else.
Yeah, great point. And so true. I mean, the never, ever give up is an important part of this, right? Because if we're not willing to fail, if we're not willing to be challenged and not willing to say, okay, I'm going to get back up. But we can't keep blindly making the same mistakes. We can't keep chasing after that same dream if we find out that we're hitting too many blocks or challenges along the way. So that idea of never giving up but being willing to course correct is really important, because there's not only one way to achieve our dreams. And sometimes we have to fine-tune, learn from our mistakes, learn from our failures, but not keep making the same failures over and over, but instead find a different way, learn from the mistakes we've made, put them to work to find another route to get to what we ultimately want to become.
In 1 minute, if there's anything we haven't touched upon in your book, in your own experiences that you really want our listeners and viewers to know, what would that be?
Well, I think we've touched on a few of those. The importance about winning the battle in your head and really focusing on all the positive things that are happening in your life and all the positive attributes you have. We talked a lot about that big vision and then make it bigger, setting those big dreams and then making them bigger. But I think the thing we haven't touched much on today, which is really finding a champion or champions. I've been blessed with a couple of champions who are older that had kind of I admired, who I reached out to and said, hey, here's what I'm dreaming of doing. Here's my vision. I don't know how to get there. Would you be willing to help and kind of be a mentor or a partner or a champion for me in my quest? And almost always folks are willing to help in any way they can when someone's looking for a little aid or assistance. And then it can also be a different peer group. I've been in this organization called Young Presidents Organization for a long time. And the group I meet with once every month or two have been fantastic champions for me, to help me bounce ideas off, to help pick me up when I've been struggling, to encourage me. It's hard to do it alone. And so that's why that idea of finding champions at chapter 4, I believe, is so important. Because if you're going to go achieve your dreams and make your vision come to life, it's important to have partners with it. Otherwise, it's a lonely endeavor. And I just encourage folks to be thinking about those champions as well.
That is so important, because I think that each one of us are maybe great at one thing, but in order to succeed in a vision or a business or, an aspiration when you have and you're trying to play it big, you're not going to be great at everything. And I think to create those champions and bring people around and ask questions and even, partner up with people who know the other aspects of this. You can bring your piece into it and then, collect the jewel of the wisdom and experience of so many people who can bring something and take it to another level, where with just, my background or my experience could only go to one level. But as it adds to everything else of the jewels that other people have, then suddenly the concept you said, dream big, but then make it bigger, it can really go to the next level for you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it took me a while to realize that. I was 10 or 12 or 15 years into my career thinking I knew it all. I had the answers. And it wasn't until I had some major roadblocks and some failures that I realized, you know what, you don't know it all. And it's good to surround yourself with champions and others who can help you. Just so important.
Well, everyone, please, please go. Another part of your end of your book, it says go read, read, read. And I'm letting all of you know, go read, read, read. Limitless, 9 steps to launch your one extraordinary life. Peter Rupert, thank you so much for joining me. And you can go to peterrupert.com to learn more about Peter Rupert and Limitless. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. And just to remind you, your watchers, it's PeteRupert.com, not Peter Rupert. So PeteRupert.com, you can find all kinds of information about the book, et cetera. But Dr. Zane, thank you so much and appreciate all you do for so many people. Keep up your great work.
Thank you. And for all of you who are out there, Happy New Year. Create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.